does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy happy.
Hello, 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 and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here I have my co-host, my good pal, buddy, partner in crime, all that stuff, Nate Gorzinski. And this is normally when I ask Nate how he's doing, but I am going to forego the formalities right now because I want to complain about something, Nate.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
Shoot. Go ahead.
I want to start the show off as a grumpy old man. How do I, you know, kind of change a pace?
That's how we start all our shows.
Oh, really? I thought this was something new, something fresh, giving the audience a taste of the new look Selling Out Show, but I was wrong. But listen, my son, he's 9, and he graduated 3rd grade. And just saying that, graduate 3rd grade is kind of a weird foreign thing to me, because when we were kids, way back when, you graduated high school and you graduated college. You just, you know, when you're in 3rd grade, you just, okay, summer vacation, next year's 4th grade. Well, not anymore, my friend. Oh, no, 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 no. They have a ceremony. They have all this pomp and circumstance, all this stuff. And, you know, so I go. Yeah. And I'm sitting in the auditorium, and these parents show up, and they got balloons, they got roses, and gifts, and bags, and I'm going, what the F is going on here?
Yeah.
What is up with this? Like, seriously, I assumed, and this is how naive I am, that just showing up was enough.
Yeah.
Not anymore. No, 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 no. So I'm sitting here watching all these people, and here's the other thing, too. Yeah. Is they wait for their kids, they clap, yeah, 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 we got flowers, we got balloons, and then they leave.
They give the kids the balloons and flowers, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, all they're right. Walking out.
I thought they left with the flowers and the balloons. They're just like, we left just the brought kid. These.
There you go. No, but I'm like, you got to clap for my kid too, asshole.
Oh, they leave as each kid graduates?
Yeah, they were like taking their kids to their seats and then taking off, and I'm like, whoa.
Wow.
They haven't even announced my son's accolades, being on the honor roll and all these awards and all this stuff. I want you to give my kid his applause, too. Instead, you're just scooting out the back door with your kids and all their crap that you bought them.
That's crazy, man.
Yeah, pissed me off.
So if your last name ends begins rather with an A, you're pretty good. You can just get the hell out of there.
Yes.
But
if your name is Anton Aardvark.
Yeah.
You are good to go. But, you know, this also led me to wonder what kind of people these folks really are. And then I think about those ones that probably put like all that crap on layaway for Easter.
Mm.
You're like, hey, I'm going to buy all these toys and stuff for Easter. Can I stress that enough? Not even Christmas. For Easter. So my kid wakes up to a Power Wheels and everything else, and I can put all the pictures on Facebook. And show everybody what kind of great parent I am buying all this useless shit for my kid on Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. These motherfuckers. I'm telling you.
I know, man. I mean, I remember having, because in my youth, we had the different schools for the different grades. You know, our town was different than the next town over, which ours was like one school had first grade or like kindergarten and first grade. The next school we went to had 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. Then the next one had 5th and 6th, and, you know, on and on. And then it was like our high school had junior and high school together, like 7th through 12th. But I remember after leaving 6th grade, that school, I don't even know if it was a graduation ceremony, but I remember having a little, like, piece of paper collage thing with all the kids' pictures on it. And it said graduating class of whatever year. But it just, I think it just was something the school did. I don't think there was like a ceremony where our parents came or anything. It was just a little memento. Like, here, the kids made it through here. Here's all the kids they were 12 with, you know.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. It's simple. That's simple enough.
Yeah.
And even a ceremony, I understand. I get it. Okay, that's fine. All right? You want to do something for the kids. I'm not one to bitch about participation trophies, whatever. They went through school. Mind you, it's only 3rd grade.
Yeah.
So it's not like they had to, you know, take Adderall and stay up all night to cram for SATs or anything. They just had to color within the lines. and learn basic mathematics and whatever, arithmetic. Yeah. But the thing is like anything you do in life, it doesn't matter what it is, someone has to ruin it. You know, who was the first person that when they had this assembly said, I got to show up with all this crap to give my kid? You know what I mean?
Like, and just make the other parents look bad.
Yeah, well, it didn't make me look bad. I don't think so. I'm like I said, showing up, I think, is the important thing, right?
Of course.
I'm here. I'm clapping for all these kids, including Anton Aardvark and Zoe Zubanger.
You stayed it till after yours. It's
yeah,
after
exactly.
Your
That's what I mean. Yeah. What the hell's going on with these selfish pricks? Right. And then, you know, who was the first person to do that? To bring flowers and balloons and toys or whatever to kids who are graduating to try to show up the other parents.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to find that person. I'm going to get a time machine, and I'm not going to go back and kill Hitler. I'm going to kill that son of a bitch. Mm. That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, man. You're the real hero.
Yes, I am. Yeah. Not all heroes wear capes, okay? But now I want to get back out of the weeds.
Okay.
Thank you for letting me rant and rave about that to lead off the show. Audience, I also appreciate you as well for tolerating my rageful rant.
Mm.
So, Nate, how are you? How are you doing? Let's get back on track here.
I'm doing okay, man. It's summer. I have few complaints. It's warm weather. We got a new paddle board that we're teaching our dogs to sit on with us while we paddle around the lake. You know, we live on a lake, so it's pretty nice. But the the dogs.
Let me write that down. That's someone else I'm going to travel back in time with and assassinate.
The, the creator of the paddle boat?
No, the first person who put the dog on the paddle boat.
Oh.
That's what the paddle boat in itself is fine, but the person who's like, hey, we're going to teach a dog how to do this. You're going down. You are going down.
Well, one of my dogs would be grateful for you doing
terrified
that.
Of this thing or what?
Yeah, you know, one of our dogs jumps right on it. She's fine. Our little pug, she's all heart, man. She's brave. She doesn't give a shit. She'll jump off the paddleboard in the middle of the lake, you know, if you don't watch her. But the other dog, Callie, our Doberman, she's not a big fan of water. I come to find out most Dobermans aren't really fond of water, but she's not a big fan. So, yeah, she'd be grateful for you to, you know, wiping that out of history.
The role reversal there. The little pug is the one with the balls, and the big dog is the one who's a big softy.
Yeah, as is the case in life in a lot of areas, I would imagine. The little one with all the heart, and the big for nothing, we used to call them in jail. The big guys that can't fight or nothing, they call them big for nothing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so. That's like me and you, because I'm what, like 5'6"?
Yeah.
And you're what, 6'4"?
Yeah, 6'4", 6'5", somewhere in between.
Oh, there you go. And me, I'm all heart, and you're just a fucking coward.
That's true.
So
you said it.
I'm kidding. But we do have a great show planned for everybody today, because we are some fun guys. Am I being very punny? Yes, indeed. That's something I say with my kid, too. Yes, punny. Dad joke. But the reason why I'm trying to do these little sneaky humor bits is because one of the things we're going to talk about is the potential power of mushrooms, fungi, trips into the multiverse, sleeping arrangements or bad ones, what we've been up to, what we're watching. I think some other stuff as well in the traditional selling out show manner. So buckle up.
Yeah, folks.
Yeah, that you'd be a terrible flight attendant.
Yeah.
Buckle up. Yeah.
Yeah, folks, what he said.
Put the seatbelt on or you are going to die.
Yeah,
so,
man.
Yeah. Anyway, but let's lead off with some of that fungi talk. What do you say?
I'm down.
Actually, can it even be a lead off since I went on my whole third grade graduation tirade?
Yeah, I think that was technically the lead off.
Yeah, so now we're into like either the top layer, the part of the cookie of the Oreo before we get into that creamy center.
That's right. We're in the dermis. We're through the epidermis.
Oh.
We're working our way in. So,
all right. Not a flight attendant, but definitely a doctor.
That's right, man.
Doctor, you know, of skin.
It's funny you mentioned doctors, man, because that kind of factors into what I want to talk about today.
Oh, tell.
Well, I've been recently kind of delving into something from my past that I hadn't wanted to for a long time. Like, our listeners will remember that I've, you know, had a kind of a sordid history with substances and whatnot. And so I'm a little leery of getting too into, you know, like I still have a drink here and there. I still like my pot, whatever, here and there. But
you dabble.
But beyond that, you know, I'm hesitant because I just know how I work. But I'd been reading a lot about people microdosing with psychedelics, specifically psychedelic mushrooms, and even beyond that, the beneficial properties of actually doing a large dose of them and a session, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so I've been kind of, I don't know, I delved back into that part of my life. When we were kids, we were both enthusiasts of psychedelics, but we would use them just to party, to have fun. You know, we'd joke around. They made everything more amusing, probably, more than anything.
Yeah, you say you're expanding your mind, but you're really just trying to have a good time.
Exactly, man. You know, but now that I'm older and I've dealt with a lot of issues in my life and like depression and anxiety and addiction and all these things, I feel like I'm in a place where it's kind of actually taking hold. The benefits are actually, I don't know, I'm actually receptive to them, I guess, because, man, I don't know really how to start this. It's like this conversation. I bought some mushrooms recently and I was microdosing with them and it was great. It kind of just gave me a little more pep in my step, a little more open-mindedness and, I guess just a willingness to participate in life. It kind of makes you more enthusiastic about things when you just have a little bit of that in you. And I didn't know how it worked. I was just appreciating it. So I was doing that. I would eat like a little third of a gram of mushrooms every day or every couple days for a period. And then I accidentally took a little too much one day. I didn't mean to, but I just kind of, you know, ended up tripping a little harder than I thought I would. And man, it opened up all kinds of like sections of my brain. Like, so my point is it basically got me to experiment a little more and a little more each time I would do them. And I'm at the point where once in a while I will do a strong, they call it a heroic dose in the society of psychedelic enthusiasts. They'll say like, take a heroic dose of psychedelics. Sure. So I'll end up doing usually between 5 and 7 grams. So about a quarter ounce at a time. And, I make sure I'm in a safe environment. I make sure I'm alone because nothing freaks you out when you're tripping more than like other people looking at you and feeling like you're acting funny, you know?
You wouldn't want to like dose up and go to the supermarket. But Nate, I got a quick question for you here.
Sure.
Now, you mentioned you were just microdosing. You're doing a little bit kind of therapeutically, you know, but then oops, you took too much. Now, and you said that opened you up a little bit. So are you trying to say like, okay, I took too much and I didn't have a bad trip. It went really, really well. So now that led me to do more.
Correct.
Take more. That's, okay. All right.
Yep. That's what I'm saying. Cause yeah, when the stronger trip came on from accidentally doing too much, it made me realize like I had been scared to trip for years because of my addiction, because of like my past with like going to jail and being, incarcerated, homeless, all these things. Like I was afraid to trip because when you trip, anyone that doesn't know, you really kind of do look at yourself from this objective view and you really kind of, it can screw you up if you're not living right. You know, it can really like give you a bad, that's kind of what a bad trip is when you're just thinking too much and you're driving yourself nuts. And if you don't feel good about yourself, you're going to have a bad time, you know?
And that is like horrific beyond. I mean, anybody who's had a bad trip, you are locked into a nightmare. And it might only be for a few minutes, but it feels like hours. You know what I mean? And that's just, that terrifies me.
Yeah.
Being someone who's had one, like if someone said, oh, yeah, I'm going to give you a bad trip and lock you in a closet, I'd be like, no, do anything else to me. Maybe amputate a toe.
It's awful.
Don't do that. Yeah, that would suck.
It really is, man. But I realized that now that I don't have a lot to feel really bad about myself about lately. Like, you know, not to toot my own horn, but I feel like I'm living pretty well lately. I feel confident with who I am. And I think that's a big part of it. And just lately I've been having these sessions once in a while. Like I said, I'll be alone. Everyone else in my house is asleep, you know, usually, well, obviously I don't do it when Joey will be at his father's when I do it is what
your
I'm saying.
Son, like, just to clarify,
yeah, I don't,
there's no,
exactly.
You're trying to, let everybody know you're not doing anything completely irresponsible here. Like we mentioned earlier, when you wouldn't do it and go to the supermarket, you're not doing it around kids. You're not.
Exactly.
You're not doing it in an old folks home.
That's true.
Around seniors.
I haven't yet.
Don't scare Nana.
Yeah,
please.
That's true. But definitely in a safe, controlled environment. And usually when I'm doing it, I just mentioned we live on a lake. We also have a jacuzzi on our back porch. So I'll usually eat a handful of mushrooms, wait for them to start to kick in, jump in the jacuzzi in the middle of the night under the moon and the stars, overlooking the lake. And it's hard to have a bad time. Yeah. In that environment. So, I've had these revelations, like all these, it's almost like every time, I don't understand how it happens, but every time when you do a certain amount of them, it's the magic number is somewhere around, like I said, 5 and up grams, you know, something about that I've noticed. There's at some point in that night that I will have, like, it's almost like my mind is showing me some part of me that it's like, you might want to look at this. And I swear to God, it's not like I'm thinking about it consciously. It honestly feels like something else is showing me, this is something you might want to look at that you're doing. Or this is some kind of relationship in your life that may be unhealthy. And I swear to God, it's like therapy. It's almost like the mushrooms are acting as a therapist and like that knows me inside and out. And it's not giving me any answers per se. It's just saying, you know, hey, what do you think is going on here? And honest to God, I feel like I get something out of each one of these sessions, man. And it is a little intimidating to someone who's not used to doing it. I wouldn't recommend it to somebody that isn't familiar with psychedelics at all to like go that deep into like with that many, that much.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Unless you're doing it, there are facilities, I guess, that will do this. Like you can go somewhere and it'll be a guided trip where they feed you all these mushrooms, just like the ayahuasca retreats that people may have heard of where, yeah, there's like a shaman or a therapist of some kind that's guiding you through it and making sure you don't hurt yourself or do anything.
Right.
But to me, that almost sounds like a nightmare because like I said, I don't like people watching me when I trip. And I have enough experience with it where I'm okay. I know I'm not going to freak out. Like, I personally have had a few nights where I probably took more than I should have. Like on at least one occasion, my connection for these mushrooms, got some new ones. And so I stupidly just take the same amount that I'm used to taking. And maybe these are a little stronger than the ones I'm used to. And so there's been a few nights where it's almost like, oh boy, this might be a little rough. But honestly, all that happens is I remind myself, you can't overdose. Like there's nothing physically is going to happen to you. You just need to remain safe. Just don't move too much. Like don't like, you know, just stay home, stay sitting down, calm down. It's going to pass. And I'm able to kind of talk myself through it. But anyway, so yeah, I had a, I don't want to say scary, but a really kind of life altering occurrence the other night. I messaged you about it.
Yes, you did.
And the strange thing is that, so my whole life, or my whole adult life at least, I've been a pretty staunch atheist. I don't believe in anything supernatural. I have issues with religion. I don't think anything happens when we die. I think, you know, just I'm pretty natural as far as like science and what I think is happening in life. Like I'm pretty, I don't believe in supernatural shit is what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're fairly grounded.
Yeah.
You don't believe in any kind of man up in the sky kind of thing and what have you. We get it, but what was this revelation though? You sent me the text and it seemed pretty deep and everything was going on with you, but
Well,
further explain.
basically, I don't even know how it happened. It was one of these situations. It was a new type, a new strain of mushrooms I was trying. And I found myself, it's almost like the best part of tripping is when you're, on mushrooms specifically, is when your eyes are closed. I know that seems, people talk about visuals and all this stuff, but most of them, it seems like when my eyes are closed, so it's almost like a dream, but you're awake. Like, things are being, visuals, like weird geometric patterns, all like different images are being shown to you when your eyes are closed even. And this one night, for some reason, there was like, it was that same voice that would show me things like I mentioned about myself, like that I always just attributed to, this is my subconscious mind talking to me, just telling me, hey, you know, this is something you should look at. This is, you know, what are you doing in this? You know, I don't know. So this one night, the voice just kept on, it's not a real voice. I don't want to sound scary, like I'm hearing voices, but it's just some thoughts in my head just kept like coming up and saying look at where you are. Like, I honestly felt with my eyes closed, like I was soaring through these corridors of geometric patterns. It almost looked like fractal patterns or kaleidoscopes. And you could think, well, yeah, that's a nice dream, some nice imagery, but it's obviously just a hallucination. But for some reason that night, like, I felt like I was there with other people. Like there were other, I don't know how to explain it. I just felt other presences there, more than one.
Aliens?
Maybe.
Probing
maybe,
your butt?
Maybe some kind of extra dimensional beings or something. I don't know. I've heard people talk about that stuff as far as psychedelics go, like encountering entities, they call them, and things like this. And I always thought it's just silly. But this one night, I'm telling you, man, and it was almost like I was conversing with them silently. I wasn't talking, but we were bringing up the fact that, like, you know, maybe you need to rethink your whole outlook on the world, because look at where you are right now. This is not the natural world. This is odd, but it was undoubtedly, like, I couldn't deny that it was a real experience I was having. It was so real. Like, I was having a conversation internally with some other people about, like, these psychedelics may be what we have as far as, like, supernatural in this world. I may not believe in anything, but maybe this is where it all lies. Because, yeah, man, because this is the only place I've been able to find, even scientifically, they're studying all this stuff scientifically, something outside of like the natural world, anything that could be considered supernatural, anything else, talk of gods, talk of ghosts, talk of any of this stuff. There's no evidence for any of it, but this is a thing I can do on my own and experience it. And that night, whoever I was talking to or whatever I was talking to, we were discussing, like, why would this exist on the planet? Like, what purpose scientifically does this serve? Like, it's not like some organisms will do a certain thing so they don't get eaten, or, you know, they look a certain way so they don't get attacked by predators, or there's some function to whatever they do. You know, but this mushroom, it's like, it's not like it's discouraging an animal from eating it. Like, there are animals that eat them. Like, it's such a unique experience. And I don't know how, I can't explain it. Like, I know I'm falling short,
but it's
here.
Like, all right. Please
come
in.
I am butting in here.
This is what
please.
I do. So it's like, okay. You mentioned in nature, certain animals have defense mechanisms, camouflage, what have you. The mushrooms, however, are like, okay, I am prepared to die.
Right.
You will consume me, but if you do so, there will be repercussions of a certain magnitude.
Right.
Because obviously there are some that, hey, you ate me, now you're dead.
Right.
Right?
Right.
There are berries, there are various things that you eat them, you're going to croak.
Right.
These, however, are saying to you, I am unlocking the door to a new dimension. So if you dare to eat me, prepare to look inside of yourself.
Right.
There will be a voice that you cannot identify talking to you. Hopefully it's someone like Christopher Walken or Sean Connery.
Yes.
Not Morgan Freeman. That's tired. That's done. I've heard his voice enough, but someone of interest.
Right.
And is going to guide you through your own psyche to explain all the mistakes, all the missteps, all the potential that you may have, or, you know, what has happened to you in your past, everything else, what your future could hold.
Yeah. Some of it is even showing you positive. It's not always like showing you a thing you need to work on in yourself or a bad thing about yourself that you need to fix. A lot of it, sometimes you just, it makes you think of certain people in your life that you may not have thought of in a while, or you may like just have a revelation about them that it's like this person, like, I don't know, you just feel extreme love for and from that person at the time. And it's like, it's just, it's, I can't explain it to someone that hasn't done it. And I know you have done it, but it's like, it's,
you found,
it's
God.
Just a,
it, right. You found, that, you
that's
found
kind
something.
Of what
There's
I was getting
something
at.
Out there.
I was shaken this one night in particular. I was shaken to my core because I realized, like, even if it was just a hallucination, it was real enough where I honestly, like, as a staunch, like I said, atheist, naturalist, whatever, humanist, I felt like maybe I was wrong about everything for that night anyway. I mean, I woke up the next day and I was kind of like, yeah, maybe that was just a crazy trip. But I remember how, like, life-changing it was.
Yeah,
and honestly, the origin of a lot of our religions and things, like, could be traced back to that. Like, I don't want to hog this whole episode, but I wanted to talk about, there was a movie that I watched recently that I put on our Facebook page, the Selling Out Facebook page, a link to a trailer to it. But it's on Netflix. If any of our listeners have Netflix, there's a film called Fantastic Fungi or Fungi or however you pronounce it, that it's, I believe, from like 2 or 3 years ago. But dude, it's such a great movie. I learned so much about mushrooms in general. And you don't have to be a psychedelic, you know, explorer to watch this and find, like, how, like, just find some kind of interest in.
Yeah.
Because this isn't about psychedelics in general. It's about fungi as a species and how amazing they are and how overlooked they tend to be. And, dude, it turns out, like, because so many of them are poisonous, it discourages a lot of people from, like, really delving into the subject, or, you know, you have a fear of them rather than a respect to them. And there's so much, like, I guess fungi, I'm going to say it differently every time I say it, but I'm going to say fungi for now.
Sure.
But fungi are, like, they're a whole separate kingdom of organisms. They're not a plant. A lot of people think they're plants. They're somewhere between, like, a plant and an animal. They work in tandem with plants and animals, and it's fucking amazing, dude. Like, this film, like, it was showing all kinds of different ways they're being used nowadays. Everything from, like, they're finding ways that they treat cancer, certain types of mushrooms, they're called, like, the turkey tail mushrooms, have had, like, extreme benefits to people with cancer. And on top of that, it's like, they were talking about how there's this theory called the stoned ape theory that was started by this guy, Terence McKenna, who's also, like, a huge psychedelic, he's actually dead now, but he was a huge proponent of psychedelics, a writer about psychedelics and whatnot. He came up with this whole hypothesis about how maybe what got apes to evolve into humans could have been these psychedelic mushrooms. Because you think about it, like, before, like, in those early days of organisms on the planet, like, they're just looking to find what they could eat. Like, you know, there's...
Right. Does this work? Does this kill me? No. Yes. Maybe.
Exactly. And they noticed in the fossil record that in this 2 million year period, which is extremely short when it comes to this, the size of the skull of these primates, like, as it evolved from apes to humans, but during this particular period, there's no way our heads should have grown this much. And the thing about psychedelics, or the thing about specifically psilocybin, the chemical in these mushrooms, is that it causes something called synesthesia, which is like when people, it's hard to explain, again, someone who hasn't done it, but people hear colors or see music, like ways where it's like the signals kind of get connected in weird ways where they've found that what it's doing is connecting neurons that aren't usually connected. And this could have actually helped brains actually grow. Like if the neurons were connecting in weird ways, eventually the brain is growing. And these apes were starting to see things differently, look deeper into their behavior, look deeper into their societies, at the world at large. And honest to God, it doesn't sound that far-fetched if you've ever tried these things. And like, so not only could they have aided in evolution and everything, they're finding all these other ways that fungi are usable, like are useful in modern life. I mentioned cancer treatments, but they're also like, they're giving people psychedelic mushrooms, to treat depression, addiction nowadays, anxiety. People that are dying are like, that are given the news that they're probably dying. When they take a heroic dose of these mushrooms, it's almost like they come to peace with it. They see things, again, from an objective point of view without all the emotions of your own point of view. And it's fucking, like, it actually, people report completely coming to terms with whatever they're dealing with, and not feeling so hopeless about death. And just one last thing I wanted to mention is just how fascinating they are in relation to the, like, plant life and the ecosystem of just the forests and things, is that, dude, trees and different plants are able to communicate with other trees and plants using, like, there's a whole network of fungus underground in these forests that, like, it acts almost as like a way to pass information from plant to plant and tree to tree and everything. They can pass nutrients and things, or signals of danger and different, like, communicating through, almost like they're using internet cables or phone lines.
Well.
And it's all fungus. Fungus also aids in decomposition. So when organisms die, what helps them break down is fungus growing all over them, which enriches the soil and makes the soil useful to new plants and things. And then there's even weird scientific studies where people have been using different fungus to try to clean up oil spills. If you think about it, like, oil spills are such a huge part of our, you know, our pollution in our world, and they cause such a problem. But oil is an organic compound. It's made of dead matter. So we have trouble cleaning it up, but the fungus just eats it away. Like, they've had so much success using fungus to clean up oil or experimenting with it, that it could be like the future of cleaning up oil spills or ecological disasters and things. This movie, I'll shut up about it, but
yeah,
this
spoiled it. I don't need to see it now. You just told me everything that happens in the movie.
No, man, there's a lot more to it, but
I know, I'm just playing around, but
I highly recommend this movie. Again, it's called Fantastic Fungi.
Yeah.
So check it out, everyone. But and if you have a safe place to do it and you feel strong enough and you feel safe, I am not going to discourage anyone. I'm not going to encourage anyone from using illegal substances. But I am.
Yeah. You're saying everybody out there take some shrooms, find your inner whatever's going on there, and make peace with yourself.
That's right.
But, you know, when you talk about the interconnectivity that they got going on, communication, mm-hmm. fungi, You can talk to me when they start sharing viral videos amongst the trees and the bushes, you know?
Maybe they are.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. Yeah, little pet videos or whatever. Look at the humans. Look what they're doing, those stupid shits. Yeah. Oh, my God. You know what this reminds me a lot of?
What's
that? And I have not seen the film that you were referring to, but if you have the Hulu, as one of your streamers, there's a show on there called Hamilton's Pharmacopoeia.
I love it. I'm a huge fan.
There you go. That's one where this guy delves into various psychedelics.
Hamilton Morris.
Yes, great Hamilton man. Morris, a very creepy-looking man, as a matter of fact. He's a strange-looking, nerdy guy, but it is a very interesting show, and I'm glad those shows exist, because, you know, despite your encouragement for all of us to, in fact, microdose, take too many mushrooms, whatever the case may be, I will never do psychedelics again. I will not. Okay. There's no way you could convince me to do so. So it's interesting to see someone else doing them. And we go, you can do it for me, sucker. but yeah, that's a fairly interesting program to watch as well. But, you know, Nate, I'm glad you're saving on therapy bills.
That's right.
By just taking the shrooms. And we didn't even mention you're talking, man, organic. Don't mess with the LSD.
I know, exactly.
Don't mess with the chemicals. Just stick with this stuff that grows from Mother Gaia.
That's right, man.
Pop that in your gullet and eat that and say hello.
I agree.
Goodbye, daddy issues. Goodbye, impotence. Hello, 2020 vision. You can throw your glasses away.
Yeah, man. It's funny, just quickly, you said that about, not using the scientifically made, engineered ones like LSD. I had experimented recently with some LSD too, thinking maybe it'll be similar.
Gosh.
No, but listen, the thing I noticed is it's nowhere near as therapeutic. It's not the same thing at all.
Yeah.
And the acid actually made me out of it for the whole next day or two. Like I felt like the come down was unreal. But with mushrooms, within hours of taking them, I'm usually okay to function and nobody would ever know. You know, within a matter of hours, I'm saying. Yeah.
But the acid is kind of like having a little bit of a hangover.
Big time. Like, you just feel out of it, just like I can barely communicate with other people for the next, day and a half, so.
And you met God, which is
That's very good. That's a selling point.
You woke up the next day not sure, but in that moment in time, you're like, yeah, I might believe in a bigger, greater power than what I thought about the day before, or even hours before.
That's right.
And if it can make me... What's that? Yeah. What?
No, I was just saying quickly, if it can make me feel that way, like open to that concept, it can make anyone.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
But go ahead, dude.
Oh, okay. Yes, me. The talking words coming out of my face. You also mentioned that you saw fractal patterns, that you were floating possibly through the multiverse. That's actually what you wrote me in the text. Like, you felt like you had breached dimensions. Which is also a nice text to get from somebody. You know, normally it's like, hey, how are you? I am working. I will call you later. Yours is like, oh my God, man. I floated through the cosmos last night and I touched a star which opened up the whatever. I found a child. I took him up the mountain to Shangri-La. But when you talk about this, you know, these floating through the multiverse, I just watched, and this is quite the segue here. Okay. Look at me go. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness.
Ooh.
So this is big ticket stuff here. It's on Disney Plus, talking about the streamers like Hulu. And want a quick review?
Yeah, of course I want to put a quick review.
You paused, so I didn't know if you really wanted it or not. So, it sucked.
Okay.
That was a shitty fucking movie. So, you know, you recommend everybody else in the free world go do shrooms. I recommend you don't go see that and don't sit on your couch and endure the whatever 2.5 hours it is to watch it. I was very, very disappointed. And there's no multiverse for me. I don't like it. No.
Wow, sorry, man.
But
that's too bad.
Yeah, I you know, Sam Raimi was a director who's a very he's a famous guy.
Absolutely.
People
Evil
seem
Dead.
To like him. Yeah, you know, it was a horror movie. It wasn't a traditional superhero movie. And you know, some people may say, "Dave, come on, man. You just said it sucked. Why did it suck? Well, you know, taste is subjective, right? Everybody likes different things and what have you. But for me, you got to have a cohesive plot. Okay. I don't like storylines going left, right, up and down, like a spider web all over the place. I like being taken down the path, the road. And I think this movie was just like taking a big pot of spaghetti and throwing it up against the wall, which, you know, in fairness, I guess, is in the title. They do say Multiverse of Madness. But I mean, I was just annoyed throughout the whole thing. Like, seriously? Now we're going this way. Now we're going that way. You're pulling me here. You're pulling me there. Which is similar to, I had mentioned I wanted to see Jurassic World Dominion. I had pre-bought my tickets. My kid loves Jurassic World. Hated that too. I did not like it. I thought that was another one where it was like a cool movie. They had a lot of potential there. And the script was just fucking terrible.
Damn,
it was a mess, man. Yeah. And similar fashion. Both movies, the fan service is off the charts, right? In Doctor Strange, no spoilers, but there are some appearances that are like, wow, that's great to see this character in the movies, finally.
Mm.
And with Jurassic World Dominion, there's a lot of throwbacks to earlier in the franchise. Many people know, like, the original cast, for the most part, is back, but they overplayed it. They really were just like... The characters still dressed the same, acted. There's no progression to the characters. They were like, it's as if they were put away cryogenically and then unsealed. And, oh, here they are in the new movie, just to have them in the movie. So everybody goes, ooh, look at that. Mm-hmm. And there was no development there. And if you are a Jurassic Park World fan, let me tell you right now, they fucked up Dr. Wu, that character. It was so stupid, man. I'm like, seriously? Because my problem was he was such a bold, strong character throughout all the previous, whatever, five movies. And this one, for a dinosaur movie, he was absolutely toothless. Like, he had no bite to him. He's just a fucking slobbenly mess, so.
Well, that was a nice little pun, too. Toothless in the world of dinosaurs.
Yeah, I'm good like that. I'm a dad. That's what I do, man. I get fucking, I wish I got paid for that shit, but I don't. So, yeah, I mean, but there's been some good stuff on. You've been watching anything fun, or?
I mean, I finally watched the full Kids in the Hall series, which I should have done from the beginning.
Yeah, totally.
I watched the documentary on the Kids in the Hall that you mentioned last episode, Comedy Punks, two-part documentary, which was incredible as a fan. I don't know how it would play with non-fans, but it's still an interesting story, but I think it's a little in-depth if you're not a fan of Kids in Hall. But it was great. I also watched the Anthony Bourdain documentary that was released on HBO, which was heartbreaking, but also great. I'm a big fan of documentaries. It's hard for me to...
Yeah, I love them too, man. Yeah. I can't get enough of them. I really enjoy them.
Yeah, and while we're at it, you had also mentioned or told me to watch the Carlin documentary. George Carlin had a two-part documentary on HBO Max, and that was also incredible, super in-depth, and made you miss the guy all over again.
Yeah.
You know, I really, George Carlin was such a big part of my life growing up. His comedy was always just ever-present. He just felt like he'd always be there, and since he's been dead... You kind of, you know, I'll still listen to some of his old stuff, but you kind of forget just how much you miss him all of a sudden putting out a special and hearing his take on how crazy shit is. Because in this day and age, with how crazy everything is politically and whatnot, he would have plenty to say, and I really wish we could have heard his take on it. Although I'm kind of glad for the guy that he's dead before all this shit happened. But, you know, I do miss the guy.
You know what I liked about that documentary, the George Carlin one? Was it The American Dream or something? I forget the name of it. But apologies. We're really well prepared for this program, let me tell you. but I like how it detailed his missteps in his career where he had a lot of failures too. It's not like he was this, automatically this ranter and raver and everything else. I mean, he went through that period where he was pretty much like a straight-laced comic.
Sure.
And then he got into, you know, the counterculture in the 70s. But even after that, he had dipped and other comedians were making fun of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this guy, he lost his edge. You know what I mean? And then even later in life where he was kind of going off his rocker a little bit. And
yeah, he was almost too negative for a while.
Yeah. This documentary was, I think, produced by his daughter. in conjunction with his estate even. So it's like they could have given you a much more sugar-coated look at his career and life, but they didn't. They really, I think it was Judd Apatow who was also the person behind it. They gave you everything on the guy, and it was quite fascinating. And,
yeah, they didn't pull punches, that's for sure.
Yes, they didn't pull any fucking punches, and it was a very good documentary. And it's been out for a while now, like I want to say like a month or something. So if you haven't seen it, but mostly everybody probably has seen it, because if you like this show, you probably like the comedic works of people like George Carlin. And yet again, The Kids in the Hall. And I would like to think that we're all like-minded people.
Yeah. If you out there are not, at least check them out. Check out some Kids in the Hall. Check out some George Carlin if you haven't. Yeah. Hell, check out some Anthony Bourdain shows. His shows were really good, too.
I started that. I only got like 20 minutes into it. And that's like one of those things where you have that unwritten law that if you start watching something with your spouse, you can't continue with it until they're available and our schedules have been kind of off, you know. It was Stranger Things, the first half, I think, of season 4. I did not think she was going to like it, but she got into it, and so I couldn't watch it unless she was around. But luckily, she liked it so much that she found time to watch that. So, which is interesting to me because it's very comic booky. Mm-hmm. And you're not a fan of Stranger Things, right?
I just never got into it. I tried watching the first season a couple times now, and I just haven't. I don't know. It hasn't stuck, but I'm willing to try it out again.
I think you should. And I impressed my wife because when this new season first started, I'm like, wow, this is very eerily similar to Nightmare on Elm Street. Mm. And later in the series, and I guess this is ruining it for you a little bit, but I'm sorry.
That's okay.
It does touch on that a little bit. My wife's like, how did you know that? I'm like, babe, come on. I know my stuff. Yeah. So, what's that?
No, I don't want to interrupt you, but
go ahead. Okay. You already did.
I've already done it. It's already happened.
Yep.
It's funny you mentioned A, comic booky things, and B, what we've been watching lately and whatnot, is that you told me a while ago, one night, I think I had texted you telling you that I was going to take some mushrooms or something, and you had said, you should watch The Boys, the series The Boys, because it's trippy and weird. And I never got around to it, and now they're like 3 seasons in. And I finally started watching it, not on mushrooms, by the way.
Okay, good.
But fucking love it.
Great
show.
Yeah. And I am currently working on season 3. And I say working on it because let me go bitching again how we fucked up streaming, because now they release episodes once a week. So suck it, binging people. Yeah, we really fucking knew how to fuck ourselves with that. We want episodic television. No, we don't need episodic television. You need self-control. Stay off Twitter, stay off social media. You don't want spoilers, okay?
Right.
Don't look at the fucking internet if you don't want goddamn spoilers. That's what you got to do. And if you want to, it's like, okay, if I gave you 2 pounds of macaroni and cheese, are you going to eat all the fucking macaroni and cheese? No, you don't need to eat. No one needs to eat 2 pounds of macaroni and cheese unless you're fucking from a third world country and Sally Struthers is telling everybody for the price of a cup of coffee, we can feed you. Right? So you can control yourself. You don't need to eat all the fucking mac and cheese. So why do you got to watch everything at once if that's not what you really want? Control yourself. Stop yourself. All right? You fucking slob. Get off your fucking couch. Go for a jog. Do whatever you like to do. Grab a fucking coloring book. I don't even know. They make them for adults now. There you go. But that's what I'm saying. It's like now I get to, because you sons of bitches, I like to binge. To me, that was the fucking kicker. That was it, man.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And here we are. Now I got to wait till every Thursday, late Thursday night or Friday to watch The Boys.
Yeah.
Which is funny because, you know, I recently was in a hotel on a trip. I was in Mexico. I had mentioned this previously. Previously, I was going on a, what do they call those things? Yeah, vacation. That's what they call it.
That's it.
That's the ticket right there. You know, they say it's a vacation, but when you get a family, it's a job. But, And I'm in the hotel room, and then they get like all these in channels, HBO, Cinemax, whatever. But you're the captive audience because it's not like streaming. So you watching whatever HBO has on. And I think I watched this is kind of funny. I've never seen any of these Fast and Furious movies except for one, which is considered the worst in the franchise, supposedly, is this Tokyo Drift.
Oh, yeah.
And I watched it again. I hadn't seen it in like 10 years. I watched it again because it was on. And I'm in the hotel room sitting in the bed like, oh, what the hell, it's on. So that's to me now, that's like a unique experience compared to like when we were younger and before streaming, I could compare it to, on a Sunday afternoon, you're hungover, whatever's on TNT is whatever's on because you're too fucking hungover to reach your remote on the coffee table.
Right.
So you're going to watch Troy with Brad Pitt, even though it sucks because it's on. You know what I mean?
Yep. That's a fact, yeah. Man.
That's a fact, Jack. That's what that is. You can put that in your fucking pipe and smoke it. Ayahuasca.
I didn't know that Tokyo Drift was the dark horse.
It is.
Of the Fast and Franchise series.
I've never seen any of the other movies. And I think the first one was just by chance I had seen it. It was just like, whatever. Yet again, it was on. All right, I'll watch it. Some hot fucking chicks in this movie, whatever. And then, yeah, I did the same thing this time. I'm like, oh, this is so weird. Because this is the only movie I've seen bits and pieces of. Let me fucking subject myself to this bullshit all over again. Mm. And it's just as bad, just as terrible. But I will not watch movies about car racing.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in that in general. Unless I'm, yet again, a captive audience. So there you go. There's my whole thing about streaming. We fucked it up. Yet there's a certain unique charm to being in a hotel room. Being forced to watch whatever the fuck is on the TV. Mm. So, yeah, you know. And trips are funny, man. Do you remember when you were young and you go on a car trip? Like, let's say, when I say young, let me be more specific. Because I generally say young and it covers decades. Right. Teenager. Let's say you're a teenager. And you travel into a new town or across state lines. Do you remember that feeling like you could walk into a convenience store and the cashier was going to fall in love with you?
Nope.
No, that never happened to you? I always thought everybody wanted to fuck me.
Yeah. Everybody. Maybe they did.
Everybody. Any girl in Newtown be like, ooh, look at him. He's from Massachusetts and I'm from Vermont.
Mm.
I want to suck his dick. I always thought that was going to happen. Like there was some weird connection or something. Like, you know, you're the foreign body entering the, you know, the environment that they like, ooh, this is forbidden fruit.
I think you watch too many pornos.
Yeah, that could be the case too. Actually, no, I'm lying to you, myself, and the audience. Because who watches pornos anymore?
Yeah,
no, who could sit there? I couldn't even stand the plot of Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Mm.
How could I sit through something where it's like, "Ooh, I am the delivery guy." Oh, really? I just dropped these strawberries on the floor. Let me bend over. Hold on. Call the maid. Do you know what I mean? And then bounce, bounce, wah, ticka dingy. You know?
Your pizza's here.
Your pizza is here with extra pepperoni.
I bet you'd enjoy them a lot better if you ate mushrooms and watched porn.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I dare you.
Yeah.
I dare you to do that.
All right.
Next time you're in the hot tub, sitting there.
Well, I'm not going to masturbate in the hot tub.
Well, no. But you know what? I think you probably wouldn't have the instinct to do that on shrooms.
Probably not. Probably not.
But I want to see who talks to you then and what places you go.
Right.
You know?
Wow, man. I've challenge accepted.
Yeah, go on the old hub.
Yeah, man.
The porn hub. See what you can find. And see what it's like when you're on shrooms.
Awesome. I'll report back.
Because that's another thing back in the day when you're a teenager. Oh, let me do drugs and have sex.
Yeah.
It's always better when you're on drugs, having sex.
I remember the first time I ever had sex on acid when I was younger, and it was amazing.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I know you wouldn't think so.
No.
You'd think it'd be all like weird and awkward, but it was pretty fucking great.
See, I don't have many recollections. I can't like, there's not one moment where I'm like, wow, I took this or that and God, it was so much better.
Yeah.
I think it's just better when you're sober.
Yeah. You know, that's the weird part of life is that we discover that way later.
Yeah.
Most shit is better when you're just sober.
I know. I just celebrated my birthday and I didn't have a beer or anything. Everybody else is around me we had like it was an outdoor party at a pool and you know, people are bringing drinks and everything. Like, oh, why are you drinking? I'm like, I don't need to drink to have a good time.
Yeah.
Not me. Well, yeah, that's why I get a lot of good for yous. Oh, yeah. No, you know, like I'm fucking like, again, not all heroes wear capes. Right. But, no, seriously, man, I truly believe like now I'm just, I guess if I took the shrooms, Sean Connery would be like, that's good for you. You don't need booze to have a good time. And that's, I think that was Chinese Sean Connery. But anyway, there's a mix between him and the guy who had the Mogwai in Gremlins.
Right.
But, yeah, so I don't know. I guess you just reach a point in your life where you're like, yeah, I don't need this shit anymore. But back when you were 15, you're like, dude, I totally gotta get high to fuck.
Right.
I can't fuck unless I'm high. Give me the weed.
Yeah, dude.
That's how I talk, too. You want to have sex? You want to get laid? Give me the weed. But, you know, Nate, another quick thing here. Hotels. I like hotels. I love staying in hotels. And when I was in Mexico, thank God I chose a hotel rather than a family member's house because they were in a water shortage.
Mm.
So the water was being shut off by the government at random. So you didn't know if you had water or not. But guess what? You had water at the hotel, baby.
Cool.
My balls were clean. Yeah. And it makes you feel a little bit guilty too. Because you're like, oh, there's citizens here that live here and pay taxes and everything. You know, they don't get no water.
Yeah.
But I do.
That's a fact.
Sucker. But on my way to Mexico, my family were driving. We get tired. It was getting late into the night. And so we stopped and we're like, any cheap fucking place will work. We just need a place to hang our hats.
Sure.
So lay down, relax, get some rest before we go back on our trip tomorrow morning. And we chose outside of San Antonio, a Red Roof Inn. Mm-hmm. Now, when we first walked into the room, I mean, everybody, it's a Red Roof Inn. Come on. You know, let's stop giving credit where it's not due. We know Motel 6s and all these places. They're not the fucking Ritz-Carlton. You know, this isn't where Fabio stays.
Right.
With his, I can't believe it's not butter money. So I go in there. I'm going to retire. And my whole family's like, these beds are hard as a rock. And they were. They felt like army cots. But whatever, I paid for them. It's late at night. What am I going to do? Fucking check out and go somewhere else? Nah, all right, we'll make do. And I'm laying there. I'm using my hand as a pillow. I don't want my face to touch the pillow. It's fucking gross. And I'm just sitting there. I'm thinking about, like, how many hookers got throttled in this bed? How many lot lizards have dislocated their jaws servicing truckers in this bed that I'm laying in right now? How many? And then I started thinking even further. This is without shrooms, so I don't need that shit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how many crappy sleeping situations have I found myself in? Like, how many, what are like the top three most uncomfortable places I've ever had to rest?
Mm.
And this segment, I shouldn't even call it a segment. It's not a segment for this show because I couldn't cohesively come up with a top three, top five, even a top 10.
It's been a lot of shitty slumber.
Yeah, I mean, I lived a large part of my life as an addict, as a drunk. So, I mean, you know, it just put two and two together.
Mm.
I slept in some weird places. And, I mean, the same applies to you. You know, you've found yourself in prison, homelessness, everything else. So, I mean, there's got to be a lot of crummy places.
Yeah.
You've rested your head.
Yeah, were you actually thinking of, like, naming any of them? Because I got a few. I can just spout off the top of my head if you want to hear a couple. Or do you want to go first? You started this.
Let's go back and forth. How's that sound? Let's ping pong this son of a bitch.
All right.
You go first. You tell me one, I'll give you one, and we'll see how far we can go with this before we tire of it. And
sure.
Yeah.
You mentioned sleep. You mentioned homelessness and whatnot, being an addict.
Mm.
I used to stay at this shelter in Worcester called the PIP shelter, which stands for People in Peril Shelter, PIP.
Yeah.
And it was this type of place where if you got there early enough, you could get a mattress. But if not, they gave you a blanket. You threw it on the hard, hard floor and just laid your head on hopefully your shoes or something. So you didn't get them stolen, because they would steal your shoes if you didn't have your head on them at night or if you weren't wearing them. But I remember having an awesome dream there and then waking up to the sound of the guy next to me farting, which got me out of my good dream. And And when I woke up, the guy had pissed himself as well. I remember that.
It was in conjunction.
Yeah.
The fart and the piss.
Yeah. Well, it smelled like both fart and piss.
He's got one pipe. When you open the valve.
It's got a cloaca, like a bird.
Word of the day, kids.
Cloaca.
There you go. Okay, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Go ahead.
All right. Here's one for you. This is 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out partying with some friends, get super lit, and I pass out in the back of a car.
Yeah.
Car, for those not from New England. And the next morning, I wake up, I open my eyes into stinging, violent pain. And the reason for this was my eye sockets had pooled with sweat because I was so stone cold drunk when I fell asleep the night before. Nothing could you know, alter or change me from rising.
Yeah.
From this position. So all the sweat from my brow and everything just pooled into my eyes. So when I opened my eyes, I just opened them into a complete pool of sticky, gross, smelly sweat.
Ooh, yeah.
And my eyes burned for hours afterwards.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a bad one.
That sucked. That was, like, really, really, really shitty. I didn't like that. It was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, I bet, man.
Yeah.
All right. I will go and say that same time period that when I was sleeping at the shelter, sometimes if the weather was nice out, like, you wouldn't want to sleep in the shelter. You'd go in, grab a blanket like you were going to lay it on the floor, and just go sleep in a park somewhere or something. And it was kind of nicer than sleeping surrounded by all the homeless people that may rob you and whatnot if you could find a nice secluded place outside. So we found this place under a building down in shitty downtown Worcester, but it was secluded. It was like there weren't a bunch of homeless people around, but you could tell it was somewhere where everyone would shoot up and everything. There were, you know, needles and things all over the ground. And it felt like paradise because it wasn't in the shelter and it was dark enough where we didn't really see. I say we because it was me and a girl who was going through this all with me. But we slept outside under this building and we woke up to cops standing over us because apparently one of the people that lived in the adjacent building saw homeless people like sleeping there or whatever and called the cops. So I woke up to the cops being there and they ended up telling us they wanted to search all our stuff. And I ended up getting arrested because, you know, I had drugs and needles on me at the time.
Yeah, sure.
And so it was a shitty place to sleep under a building. But it was better than sleeping in the shelter. And when I woke up, I got arrested basically first thing. So yeah, that was kind of shitty.
You slept in a bed of needles.
Yeah.
And you woke up and went to the clink.
Basically.
All right.
That's about it.
So. You know, let me give you another one here.
Okay.
And you're going to remember this. You were there that night for a period of time. Because we went to go see Cool Keith.
Yep.
At the Middle East in Boston. And I was being a complete asshole. To everybody.
Yes, you got kicked out twice. You got kicked out of the same show twice.
Yes. Well, I also was not invited for the ride home with you guys because I was being such a fucking just complete jerk. I mean, drunk beyond words, just being mean and nasty and everything else.
Yeah.
So that night, I don't know what to do. I called my mom. I was like, Ma, I need you to pick me up. And she's like, where are you? I'm like, I'm in Rhode Island.
You were in Boston.
Yeah, and she's like, the area code says Boston. I'm like, oh, no, I'm telling you, I'm in Rhode Island. She's like, I love you, but I can't help you if I don't know where the hell you are. I'm sorry, reach me, you know, call me in the morning. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, all right, well, I need to find a place to sleep, and I need to do it fast. So first I go into an alley, and I kind of crouch in the alley thinking, I can sleep in here. But then like a bunch of people were walking by, and they look pretty shady. I'm like, I'm going to get fucking murdered.
Yeah.
I can't sleep here in this alley. I'm going to get killed. So I went and I started checking the doors on cars. And a couple of car alarms went off. I'm like, I run. But finally, I found a car. It's unlocked. I open the door. I jump in. Boom, I'm out like a light. Next day, I got woken up by street traffic. People walking by, you know, noise of everybody getting their coffees, doing their things, going to work. And I'm like, ugh. And I got out of the car. I was like, all right, well, now I got to find a way home. But that was like, I was so, like you mentioned about being woken up by the cops.
Yeah.
I completely, when you're asleep, right? Life is a dream, man. So you wake up, you don't even realize that you'd been the dick the night before and everything else that had happened to you.
Right.
So you could have been at home in your bed. Well, I wasn't. I was in the middle of Boston, didn't know where I was in a stranger's car who had no idea I was sleeping in the car. That's another reason I had to get out as soon as I was like, oh shit, someone catches me in here. I'm in trouble.
Yeah, dude. And you mentioned the area code saying Boston because this was before cell phones, really. Like, so it wasn't even like you could just keep calling someone. You had to find a payphone and call your mother and ask her to come. And then she couldn't call you back. You know, you had to fucking, like, it was, yeah, I remember that. I remember that very well.
Yeah, and that was a shitty sleeping situation indeed. What do you say we each do one more?
All right, I'm down.
One more, and then we'll move on to something else.
Sounds good.
All right. So give me a good one here, Nate.
All right. Well, my last one, I'll pick the one cellmate that I had that I did not get along with. I'm usually pretty easy to get along with, and I find I can adapt. I'm adaptable. So mm-hmm. I've done my fair amount of time in jail and always gotten along with my cellmates, no matter who they were, except this one. And I may have mentioned him on a previous episode at some point, but his name was Cujo. We called him Cujo.
Yes, yes. If you go back to our prison episode, which I think was like probably the first 10 we did, if you go back to our archive, you will find the tales of Cujo.
Yeah. But basically just almost any night in that cell, because he had been, his head had been run over as a small child by a car, I guess, on soft ground. So it didn't like smash his skull. It just kind of fractured
it. Smushed it. Okay.
I mean, so he had all these.
Sure, that's normal. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he had all these like steel plates in his head or whatever, which, yeah, he was very up and down mood wise. Like he was always like, he'd flip out for no reason and he'd just fly off the handle. I never ended up having to fight the guy, but there were several times that I thought I was going to have to. And finally I realized the guy, this one day he started asking me questions about, you know, inquiring about whether I had a girlfriend or what my sexuality was and all this stuff. Like, and he's basically asking, because it turns out, yeah, he was also gay. And I found out that he was, which I have no problem with, but he was in there for like holding a young guy hostage and basically like raping and kidnapping somebody or something. Like, I don't know the details of the case, but it was something to do with that.
Yeah, sure.
And then he started asking me questions. Because I'm an addict, I think that saved my butthole most of the nights, because he was worried that he was going to catch HIV or something from me. And he knew one day somehow he heard me get called, because I went and got an HIV test just for my own peace of mind one day. And he kept asking me if I got the results from my HIV test. Like, he was way too interested.
You're like, nope.
So,
nope.
Yeah. I don't know, buddy.
4 weeks. Nope. Haven't got those back yet there, Cujo.
But that's basically, yeah. So every night during that period when he was asking me about my HIV test.
Oh, my God. That's fucking a nightmare. Oh, yeah. My gosh. Terrible.
And what have you got one more?
Well, I mean, it's not going to compare to prison rape.
Whatever. I mean, didn't officially get raped. It may be close.
Yeah. Well, this one, I could have been raped.
Yeah.
I don't recall, because a lot of these stories have to do with like me getting fucked out of rides because I was being a dick.
I think I know where you're going.
Oh, you know this one because we were roommates.
Yes.
At the time. And I guess I'm going to try to give the short version of it. Was I was catching a ride with a buddy of ours, but I was at the apple orchard kissing a girl that he was interested in. And on the ride home, I mouthed off to him or something. He said, get out. I get out in the street. I don't know where I am. I had like a bottle of blackberry brandy with me or something. I just, the last thing I remember, I'm just walking down looking at some of the street lights. There's nobody. This isn't a bumfuck town. Call back to Nate's story. Bumfuck. And the results of the test are in. And you are not Cujo's lover. So then everything goes black. Dark. Next thing I know, I'm waking up. It's freezing. I'm waist deep in mud, like a pit of mud in the middle of the woods. I pull myself out of the mud pit. I'm missing a shoe. My glasses are like 10 feet away. I find them. I put them on. I don't – what the fuck? So I end up walking, and I find a house, a nice house, and I ring the doorbell. I don't even know what time of the day it is. The light's barely even out. I think it was even still a little bit dark.
Yeah.
And I'm like, can you help me? I don't know where I am. I don't know what's going on. And they're like, yeah, sure. You just stay here on the porch. And the cops show up and they're asking me questions. I give them my poor mother, God rest her soul. I give them her information and everything. And she ends up coming to pick me up. And luckily there were no like charges pushed against me or whatever, being like a psychopath who just came out like Swamp Thing.
Covered in mud.
Covered in mud out of the woods, missing shoes and stuff. And, that was a startling way to wake up. And I don't know how I don't even know if I got hit by a car. I don't know how I ended up in the woods in the mud pit. I don't know if I was abducted. I could have been taken by aliens. Like, I swear to God, anything could have happened. It's like, even to this day. And that was how many years ago? 20?
Yeah.
Nate, help me out here.
23 years ago? 24, maybe?
24 years ago. And I there's still a black spot. So maybe I keep saying no to shrooms. Maybe if I took shrooms. You connect the dots and let me know what happened that night, but maybe I don't want to know. I don't know. But that was fucking shitty. And I remember anytime we tell the story after, you know, you'd be like, oh, yeah. And then fucking I came home and you were like passed out on the couch or something.
Yep.
And I tried crawling into couch on the couch to steal your warmth.
Yeah, I remember. Like, I was going to bring that up. I was going to bring that up and say that actually is one of the times when I woke up uncomfortable was that when you came back covered in mud and everything. Yeah, you like came in and just I felt, yeah, somebody lift up the blanket that I was under on the couch and try to crawl in with me on a couch. It was tiny.
Yeah.
And yeah, but you were cold and, you know, it is what it is. But
I needed some heat somehow, man. Holy macaroni. That was shitty.
Yeah, man. But we all survived. We survived these.
I think so.
Yeah.
Unless this is, you know, Jacob's Ladder situation.
That's what I was just thinking.
Really? You know, you probably didn't want to say it because I think we brought up Jacob's Ladder way too many times on this show.
Probably.
People are probably like, what the fuck, man? Stop talking about Jacob's Ladder.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to do thank our partners real quick, but I'm sorry. I was distracted because I was looking at my watch.
Yeah.
Because I got a spam email from Ninja Kitchen confirming an order from Walmart I didn't make. So.
Oh, well, that's an issue.
Yeah, I you know, my watch was like, so my wrist is vibrating, and I look at it, and it's like, hey, scam. But yeah, I'll tell you what's not a scam, these partners we got, because I love them. Northlandvapor.com. I'm a vapor. I love vaping. I know there's like a war on vaping, especially just kind of like, I guess, to touch on the news real quick, when I should be promoting our sponsor. But they ban like Juul. The Juul e-cigarette, which I get because they market the kids and everything. Well, guess what? Northland Vapor don't do that, baby. Nope. Northland Vapor are big believers in smoking cessation products. So they're not targeting fucking kids. They're targeting people like me. They want me to quit smoking just like they want for you. They don't want you freaking inhaling all that freaking chemical crap anymore because all of their e-juices are diketone and artificial sweetener free. So even less gunk. To be putting in your body. And I can tell you, firsthand testimonial, vaping has been an incredible thing for me. And if I even smell a cigarette now, I'll probably pull a fucking exorcist. My head will spin around and pea soup will go everywhere. Because it's a disgusting habit and you got to quit it. So if you want to change your life, change your health, northlandvapor.com is a great way to do that. And also on the health side of things, CBD. I mean, what haven't you heard about CBD and the benefits of CBD for just about any ailment you can think of? Well, luckily, we partner with AlpineHemp.com. And if you visit AlpineHemp.com today, not only they always have like cool raffles and things like that to save you coupons with the codes, the discounts and everything else like that. We have one. And that's selling out 19 to save 19% off your entire order. At both sites. That's northlandvapor.com and alpinehemp.com. Now, they also have a couple more companies underneath their umbrella, deathbygummybears.com and wonkyweeds.com, which if you're a gummy fan, that's definitely a place that you want to check out. But I love them. I can't get enough of them. Love them both. So definitely check them out. High endorsement from David Schultz, one of the hosts of the Selling Out Show. Me. And then last but not least, we have SpunkLube.com. Spunk Lube, oh yeah, baby. I mean, come on. You want to enjoy your sex life? Make it a little bit easier for the one that you love by providing some lubrication. Now, Spunk Lube is an award-winning lubricant used by professionals in the adult film industry, but why let them have all the fun? You can now have Spunk Lube delivered discreetly to your home by visiting SpunkLube.com. I did fail to mention, by the way, Northland Vapor also has brick and mortar locations, so it's not all online. You can get some human interaction in there as well. So remember that, northlandvapor.com, alpinehemp.com, deathbygummybears.com, wonkyweeds.com. Do I need to be saying .com at the end of all this? I don't know. I feel
it
like...
It helps.
You think so? It's like when someone says www.
Yeah.
You don't need to use that www anymore. Do you? Well, I'm old. I say it. And then, spunklube.com. But, Nate, do we have a Nate's Notes plan for today? Are you going to?
I have one, if you'd like to hear it.
Oh! Yeah, that sounds good. Why don't we rock and roll with that?
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
In this world of social media and constantly updated tabloid content, it's much harder for a band or singer to remain mysterious. Twitter and Instagram and, yeah, even Facebook make everyone feel like their opinions have more weight. So it's hard for a celebrity to resist the temptation to just vomit all their points of view into cyberspace. We have phrases like, respect the art, not the artist. But nowadays, it's all but impossible to separate a person's work from whatever online presence they cultivate. They also used to say, never meet your heroes, implying that the reality behind a celebrity persona is usually disappointing. And with all this breaking down of the celebrity mystique, we can often determine how disappointing that reality is just by reading their tweets. Back in the 90s, none of this was possible. There were fan pages and chat rooms, but it wasn't like you could actually read an artist's thoughts, unless it was in a highly orchestrated and edited interview. For the most part, any of the musicians that I've looked up to or respected have been completely gracious to me when I got to meet them as a fan. There was a period in the late 90s where my band split. Obtained a modicum of success, and by modicum I just mean we got to play regularly around New England, released a CD, and even got to play with a handful of national acts, some of whom were really cool. We were also friendly with a few club owners, and got to hang around backstage when a band we liked was performing there, even if we weren't on the bill. I remember getting to open for Busta Rhymes, the super talented, larger than life rapper, when he was performing at the Worcester Palladium in 1998. We were super excited being fans of Busta since his days in Leaders of the New School and his appearances with A Tribe Called Quest. We figured we'd get to meet him at least, and maybe even smoke a blunt with the guy. But he stayed in his bus until showtime, and when we asked his people if we could smoke him up, they pushed us away and gave us some excuse about not wanting him to get arrested in Worcester, Mass. We knew he was undoubtedly hotboxing his whole tour bus right outside. I mean, I get it. Weed was still illegal, and we were just some weird teenagers he didn't know who got to open the show. Busta wasn't technically a dick to us. We didn't even get to meet him. But his people sure were stuck up about the whole thing. Boston rapper Mr. Liff, who was also on that bill, made up for it by being super nice and even smoking us up. That, and the sheer size of the crowd that night, made the whole thing really memorable, even if we didn't get to hang with Bus-a-Bus. One night at our regular hangout in pseudo-home base Worcester's Espresso Bar, the Electric Hellfire Club was scheduled to play. They were an offshoot of famed industrial disco sleaze band My Life with the Thrill Kill Cult, and I was a big fan of their first couple records. In direct contrast with Busta Rhymes, the Hellfire Club were more than happy to indulge with us. We definitely smoked a good amount of pot, and I even gave singer Thomas Thorne a line of crystal meth at one point. I remember a swell of pride as he pinched his nose afterward in response to the drug's sting in his nostrils. He thanked me and said it was nice to have something different than coke for once. The Espresso Bar was a cool venue, and the owner was a friend, so he would put us on the lineup with bigger bands when he could. One band who was on the rise at the time was California's Incubus. Those guys were incredibly nice and humble from day one, and we formed such a friendship that we would play with them whenever they came out this way. And if we couldn't be on the bill with them somewhere, they would at least get us into the show for free and backstage to hang out. At one point, Incubus were on the road, and one of their openers had to leave the tour before a handful of dates on the East Coast. They called our manager and asked us if we wanted to fill in. We jumped at the opportunity. We even knew a guy who owned a tour bus that we could use, so we didn't have to, like, pile into our drummer's station wagon or something. It felt super professional, and I'm grateful that we got that opportunity. The other opening act for those shows was a little-known band called System of a Down. They were fairly unknown at the time, but already signed to American Records and moving quickly up the ladder to international acclaim. Our first day on the tour, we were playing the Webster Theater in Hartford, Connecticut. We got backstage a few hours before the gig, and there was a craft services table with platters of food. Cold cuts and vegetables, some hot dishes or casseroles or whatever. We asked, and it was for all the bands, so we grabbed plates and started eating. Shortly thereafter, System of a Down came in. Most of the guys were fairly decent to us. Their bass player, Chaveau, seemed nice enough. But their guitarist, Darren, started flipping out that someone had already tapped into the food. It didn't matter that we were on the bill, that we were friends with the headliners, that we were all musicians in the same boat, living this cool experience together. He couldn't believe that we, some random teenagers from Massachusetts, had dared to start eating that food before the great, yet still mostly unknown, Darren Malakian arrived. We also watched him berate people on his own staff for issues relating to his wardrobe. Just a bunch of cocky rock star behavior, and they weren't even rock stars yet. He was a standoffish dick for the rest of the tour, even when we would congratulate him after a good set, just unnecessarily douchey. Later that year, we saw our buddy's tour bus, the same one we had used for those Incubus shows, parked at the Warped Tour. He would basically lend it out to bands that he knew, as long as he could drive it. We found him standing by the bus and offered to smoke a joint with him. He said sure and invited us onto the bus. It was pretty cool to be at the Warped Tour and to be able to escape the crowd and the heat and have a safe place to light up. But before long, these dudes entered the bus and started bitching at us. "Who the fuck are you? What are you doing on our bus?" etc. Mind you, we were there with the owner of the bus, who we were currently smoking up. Plus, we had some history with said bus, when these guys were apparently just using it for the day. We finished smoking and left the bus with a bad taste in our mouths from this band of assholes. Turns out, they were another band who were just starting to make headway in those days of new metal, and it was already going to their heads, not unlike Darren from System of a Down. Who were they? A shitty flash in the pan called Godsmack. Maybe you remember them. So yeah, bands are just made up of people. Some are cool and make cool music. Some are shitty and make cool music. Some, I'm sure, are cool and write shitty music. And finally, some, like Godsmack, are just shitty through and through. So, man, you remember you were actually there, I think, for that Godsmack interaction.
No, I wasn't.
You weren't there? No,
I'm glad I wasn't, because Godsmack fucking sucks. They're the biggest fucking posers of all time. And, you know, I feel like I brought this up to everybody who's ever mentioned them to me.
Yeah.
But the big issue I had with them was I saw an interview when they hit big on MTV and someone had said to them, "Oh, yeah, so you guys are fans of Alice in Chains, right? Like Godsmack, get it?" You know? And they were like, "Oh, no. The guy Sully there is like, "No, that wasn't it at all. It's because one of our band members had a cold sore or something and we said you were Godsmacked." They were a fucking Alice in Chains cover band.
Right.
Okay? That's how they got fucking around town, was being a cover band.
That's
but
right.
They wouldn't admit that, wouldn't fucking come clean when they finally started making some money. So fuck you.
Right. Because, yeah, Godsmack was. It was the name of an Alice in Chains song.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they I remember that. I think we were living together at the time when that interview came out that about where they said that. They were trying to, claim that the name Godsmack wasn't from the Alice in Chains song.
Yeah. So but, I hope they're all fucking painting fences right now.
I know,
and
man.
Have no more money. I hope their kids are broke and are wearing fucking trash bags as shoes with duct tape.
I know. It's like, ironically, System of a Down, who was from the same era, but at least had a little something more interesting to their music. Like, I'm not a System of a Down fan, but at least their music was a little more unique. Like, Godsmack's is just, pretty by-the-numbers, shitty, new metal, and as a result, Godsmack are really nowhere nowadays. I mean, System of a Down is doing reunion shows. They broke up for a time, and now everyone wanted them to get back together, and now they're playing some, I don't know, one-off dates. I don't know if they're touring, but yeah, nobody wants to see Godsmack anymore.
No, nor should they. They're the biggest frauds. Like, yeah. They're just complete pieces of crap. And yeah, Sully Erna, what kind of name is Sully Erna, the lead singer?
Yeah.
What a dink. You know, it's like one of those things when you're a kid and you're in a band, like you're trying to, like you mentioned, you're trying to be cool to other acts and like, hey, yo, we're all in the same boat, right?
Yeah.
He's one that if I saw him on the street, I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, hey, violence is good. I'm not saying violence is bad either. But there's certain times when someone in life really could use a fucking nice slap to the jaw. Yeah. And he's one of them. So, yeah, and the same thing when I said, oh, I hope his kids are wearing trash bags and shoes, duct tape shoelaces. I don't, I don't want to see kids in poverty, but man, what a fucking, yeah. You know, and the guitar player you mentioned for System of a Down, I kind of get it. Because ego is everything, right? When you think you're the hot shit. I mean, how many times have you met a creator, a writer, anybody, an artisan, and you talk to them, they're full of themselves, right? You kind of have to be. You got to have that little swagger to you if you want to make it in the business or whatever you're trying to do in life. It doesn't matter if you milk cows for a living, right? Mm. I'm the best with that udder you ever done seen. I can grab a teat like nobody else, right? There's some guy out there.
I'm sure.
You know? Yeah. Look how
champagne.
There you go. You know, so I kind of get it a little bit, you know, and maybe if you talk to him now, oh, the errors of youth.
Right.
You know, or maybe not. Agree. I don't know. But I'm saying, like, I could have seen myself in that similar situation where I would have been like, hey, who are these motherfuckers? I'm in this band and I'm going to be big and blah, blah, blah. But yeah.
Yeah, I know, man. It was a weird time, like music wise, because there's a lot of heavy bands out right now that the musicians are super, super talented and super, like, virtuosic in their playing and write some interesting music. But back then it was like post grunge, post Nirvana, where they kind of made it okay to not be some great player. It was that punk rock aesthetic of just, I can play a few chords, I can write a song. And that was great. That opened the gates for a lot of people. But then the authenticity went out the window with a lot of the new metal bands. It was almost like, I don't know, they were just believing their own hype.
Yeah.
And if you listen to Darren Malakian's guitar playing from System of a Down, none of it is really that impressive. Like, it's all single note stuff or easy chords, power chords and shit. And I don't know, he was like believing his own hype.
No, he had a wardrobe person. Like, so you thought he was Liberace.
Exactly. Exactly.
Why treat you like a pool boy? Like Cujo wanted to in prison, you know?
Yeah, man. Yeah, he was kind of a douchebag. I don't know what it says about me that I'm still writing a segment about it, but
yeah,
I was I don't know. I was thinking of guys that were kind of dickish and others that were nice. And the guys from Incubus were always the coolest dudes. They were, from day one, just really nice dudes to us. And like I said, even if we... They'd come around, and even if we didn't get to open for them on that go-round...
Yeah, they wanted to hang out.
Yeah, they would be like, you know, we'd be in touch with them, and they'd say, yeah, we're playing at this venue, come down, there'll be tickets for you out front, and you can come backstage and whatever. And I got to meet a couple of other bands that they would play with because of that and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was...
Personally, I don't have a lot of interactions like you do, so I can't cite a lot of stuff. I've told my Evan Dando from the Lemonheads story on air before.
Yeah, but why don't you refresh us?
Nope. No, I will not. Okay. I'm going to say, go look it up.
Okay.
And I should be better. And I should be like, oh, this is episode number 22 on the Selling Out Rotation. I don't know. But I talked about it. You can go find it.
Yep.
I don't know. And I was scared of Greg the Hammer Valentine when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I saw him in Abdow's.
Wow.
Yeah. The big boy. Know. He was eating some flapjacks. He looked like he fucking had a rough night. He was red as a lobster.
Wow, man.
Yeah. So he looked like a gay librarian even then, just eating his fucking sticky pancakes. But yeah, I mean, as far as like meeting celebrities and stuff, you definitely have the advantage in that one because you were in the band, a successful band.
Yeah.
But I guess that also relates to what I was saying about the guitar player from System of a Down because we were in a local band together. Yep. And when a girl would come up to me and be like, oh, your lyrics or something, or I fucking made lyrics up. I wasn't like sincere about anything, but I was like, yeah, look at me.
Yeah.
Look at me go. Yeah, look at that. I got a fan. I'm important. I'm somebody.
It feels good.
It feels good, but it's nothing.
Yeah.
In the grand scheme of things, we're all just fucking specks of dust.
Yeah. Well, so be nice to people, folks. Even if you get some success, be nice.
Yeah, there you go. Be nice. You know, I was about to go on a whole thing where I was just like, yeah, we're floating in the cosmos on a rock, a mud ball.
Mushrooms.
On mushrooms. We're ants. Yeah, you know, just fucking how insignificant our lives truly are. And you're like, be nice. Be nice, people. Be good to others, which is good advice.
Yeah, man. Be good because we're all insignificant. Our lives are short and we're just on a rock and we're all going through it. So don't be a dick to everyone because everyone's, you know, because you're not that important and everyone else is just as important as you. So
or decades later, someone's going to call you a douchebag on a podcast.
Right. Watch out.
That's what's going to happen. Yeah. Now everybody's going to hear this and wherever he is out there in the world, he's going to feel shame.
That's right.
Terrible embarrassment.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nate. Good job.
You got it, man.
Yeah, so. Well, that was a good piece, Nate. Thanks. I like that one.
Thanks.
Because, you know, yet again, it is important to remember that, I don't know, celebrities, they're still human beings and everything like that, but some of them are just not nice people.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
Yep.
You know,
especially if you are a fan and you meet someone and they're a douchebag, that's the worst.
And that's my intention. That's what I'm going to do in the whole podcasting realm. Someone meets me, I'm going to be the biggest jackass. I'm going to treat you like shit. We're going to play good cop, bad cop. Nate's going to be nice to you. He's going to tell you good things about you and appreciate your listenership. And I'm going to say, hey, man, unless you come in with some fucking crystal meth and want to fucking play with my bunghole in the bathroom, we're not friends.
Yeah, man.
I'm just kidding. I'm exactly the opposite. I'm like, wow, holy shit, you like my show? Bless you. I might play with your bunghole in the bathroom. That's what's
nice. Yeah. It's nice to feel like people appreciate what you do.
Yeah.
So
exactly. It's a wonderful feeling. All right, Nate. Well, we've had a long show this time around.
I know.
It's been very, very long, and I never mentioned any way to reach us. So I guess if you stuck around this long, thanks. And if you ever want to tell us about the crappy places you've slept or your experiences taking mushrooms, psychedelics, possibly your anger over third grade assemblies, or hell, even a celebrity that you met that just wasn't up to what your expectations, you can email us. sellingoutshow@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram, sellingoutshow. I just posted a Bukowski t-shirt on there.
Ooh, I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, and you know what? I think you did see the one where I posted the autographed album cover from Clutch, the band Clutch.
I did.
So that's an interaction I had that I completely...
At the espresso bar.
At the espresso bar that I was a complete weirdo.
Yep.
maybe we can get into that another time.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's on the Instagram. You get the Facebook kicking. You're posting the movie recommendations on there.
That's right.
It's another thing. If there's something you think we should be watching, reach out to us and let us know. Or appreciate us. We just mentioned we need it. We want it.
Yeah. So we crave it.
Crave it. Yep. So yeah, we really suck at ending shows.
That's all right.
Yeah. We suck at starting them. We suck at ending them.
We're good at the middle,
though. Yeah, the middle's not bad. It's not bad at all. So... All right, well, let me do my normal sign-off here. And I appreciate all of you. Virtual hugs for each and every one of you. And I really do mean that sincerely. Mm-hmm. Luckily, virtual hugs are free. There's no contact involved.
Right.
So there's no transmitting of any kind of molecules, which can be a good thing, especially post-pandemic. Are we still post-pandemic? Are we still in the pandemic? What's going on with the pandemic, Nate? Can you give us a pandemic update?
I feel fine. I got a sniffle maybe, but I don't know. You guys are on your own.
All right. Well, I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up, the devil looks so long time.